Captain Father Coach Club. Father to father discussions on life, on life terms.
You know, it's Killer Mike.
All right, cool. So we're just going to talk about Father's Day, fatherhood. Kind of start with your story, man. I know you mentioned, like, in the past that you were a father at an early age. Being a young dad, how did that kind of change your outlook on life?
I knew shit was real. And all the brothers in the barbershop know what that means. I was very blessed. And then I have a biological and non-biological father. And, you know, my mom and my dad had me at, I think, 16 to 19 years old. And my mom married my non-bio dad, who has essentially been my dad my entire life as well. So I was lucky in that I had two dads, but they were both young men, you know, and they were always honest to me and with me about young fatherhood. And even had warned me about it. And like every young boy with a high sexual desire and, you know, also high fear of going in the stores and buying condoms and low money to do it, I made a bad decision and getting a woman pregnant and, you know, not being prepared to be a dad. And all my children, I think I had too early, and I didn't have within the confines of marriage. And that's, you know, as an adult, you realize that's not right. It's not right to the kids. It's not right to do to yourself because it puts high form stress on you. And it's not right to do by the mothers. But simply because I was raised by my grandparents in a two-parent household, I kind of knew what a two-parent household looked like and was supposed to be like. And my grandparents were all-inclusive in that if it was an event for me, everybody had to come. You know, I didn't care if you were bio or non-bio. You as father, we expect you to be there. So my life, I was encompassed in a circle of very good men. And even though I made some of the same mistakes other young men made, I had resources that they didn't. And then I have a very involved family, you know, and I also knew how to be a responsible guy earlier. But I remember Miss Ann Snatchop, when I walked in, my oldest son Malik one time saying, "You're his dad?" It's like, yeah, because at first she thought we were brothers. And she said, "You pretty much older than him. Y'all just raising each other." And that really, being a young father is, you're growing, you're learning the world yourself, you're getting some things right, you pass those on, and the things you don't get right, you explain to your child why you did. My dad did it for me. I found myself doing it to my son. I'm happy to say my son, who's now 23 years old, does not have a child, you know, to my knowledge, is not married, and is waiting until he's a proper man that can support himself and the family before he does. And that's based on the advice my dad gave me, and my grandfather, and my other dad, and I in turn gave to him. So it seems to be finally working, and it's filtering down, you know, and coming out with a more positive outcome than, you know, being a father before you're ready to.
Let me ask you this, you know, for black kids in general, man, like, why is it important for black kids to have a black male present, whether it be a grandfather, may it be a great mentor? Why is it important for black kids to see a powerful black figure in their life?
Well, propaganda works against the glory of black people in this country. Doesn't mean I don't like this country. Doesn't mean I haven't had a good life here. But propaganda is propaganda. And too often, black people are the heel. If you're watching the news, we seem to be the criminal one. If you're listening to conservative talk radio, we seem to be the villain, you know, by way of government stuff. If you're listening to black talk radio, then we seem to be the victim, you know what I mean? But the truth of it is most black men are working brothers out there trying to do right by their children, and in turn helping some other children too, whether it's their nieces and nephews, or other little brothers they just see in the community, or football, or baseball, basketball, soccer, coach. The CDC actually statistically found that black working class, black men, period, as fathers, spend more time with their children than the other group. That contradicts a big fallacy that's taught, that black children are not in contact with their fathers and know them, and that black fathers are involved in their children's life. You know, CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, does this study, said that that's not true. That we do, and in fact, more than any other group. I think that once we start to change the narrative, then the treatment of our brothers changes. We start to glorify and uplift them. the respect that grows between them and black children there and not there in the community. And as a community, we start to become the real and whole community that I know we are, that propaganda kind of contradicts. Black men being directly involved in black kids' life directly contradicts bullshit and propaganda, so that those children then see the world as it really is, that these men love me, care for me, or as involved, got more involved than the other men, and not the propaganda that tells them that they somehow are incomplete.
Definitely. Like, what's the advice you get to young fathers, man? Young guys who are trying to figure it out. What's the biggest advice you can give them?
My first advice is, the best advice is this, to young men. The three things you can do is to make sure that you are not in poverty. You don't end up having to make some hard decisions that will put you in poverty or jail. Is further your education past high school. I would say to get a skill or a trade. I don't mean just me going to college and just getting a general degree. I mean going get a specific degree in terms of a trade school or something, because for the next 20 years, we're going to be building things. We're going to be transporting things. Get your CDLs. Get your trades. IM workers. Metal workers. Carpenters. Get that. So that you'll always have a place in the marketplace to make money. So further your education. Right? Even if you know college or trades, but I say go trades. You can read and get smart as much as you want to, but brilliant men right now are figuring out how to build things. The other thing that I tell young men is to always keep a job. Right? Always keep a job. I don't care if it's a Walmart and $11 to $12 an hour. If you keep a job and you're building a skill, so if you're going to Atlanta Metropolitan and you're learning iron metal working, sheet metal, and things of that nature, aviation mechanics, you know within 24 months, in an hour of barbershop, 18 months, I can hire you. You know that you're going to come out with a skill or trade in the marketplace you want to need. Keep a job, because that keeps you out of doing stupid things and getting money, right? So I'm keeping a job. Mike, I'm only going to make $12, $13. Yep, you're going to make that, but you're not going to go to the movies. You're going to watch how to stay at home, watch a fire stick the next 24 months. 24 months is a really, really fast time. So you're keeping a job. You're furthering your education. You're keeping a job. And the third and most important thing is, do not have a child until you are married. So if you're not married at 35 and you can afford it, you don't have a child. If you cannot marry at 27, don't have a child. And if you do have a child or children, stop there until you're married. So if you got one son and you're 19, you don't need to have another one until somebody said, I do. Why marriage, Mike? Because indeed you are a two-person household. You can split. You split revenue in terms of however you want your house. You split the time for the child, so the child's never alone. Your child not across town. And most of all, the government is not involved in your life in telling you how much time or money you spend with your child or the influence. If you do those three things, I can guarantee you, or some variation of, if you do those three things, I can guarantee you, you're going to be a more successful human being.
Definitely, man. Last question, man. Your fondest memory that you had with your father, grandfather, any father figure. What's like your fondest memory?
The fondest memories I have with my grandfather is just fishing, because fishing would often lead to these long conversations where I was learning stuff. So I understood at a very young age that Christmas is a holiday and we enjoy celebrating, but Santa Claus wasn't real. My grandfather wanted to make sure that we knew. He and my grandmother bought that shit, so we appreciate him in that respect. So we did. You know, fishing was the place. My grandfather helped me understand that despite what law says, you God gave you the right to fish, hunt, and force for your own food, basically, in fact, you're hungry. You know, later on I learned that was called natural law and things of that nature. You know, my grandfather taught me how to shoot, hunt, fish. I appreciate him for that, to those times. My dad, my biological dad, who was a police officer when I was a young man, had a dope muscle car. He had a 70, mid-70s barrel. It was white with black interior. One of the most hurtful things I saw happen was my dad had to sell his muscle car. And that was like watching my hero have to take off his mask or cape, which is why I tell young men now, you know, if you do have a child, you're a young man, you're married, do not sell your muscle car. Your muscle car keeps you at home because you revere it, and you're going to sacrifice going out and partying for it because you know I got a favorite car note. Or if you have one that you're building yourself, you have something to focus you and keep you at home on the weekend. So I try to tell young men, keep your muscle car a cool car, right? Keep that. Don't overextend your other stuff. It'll help you. And the other thing, what my non-bio father is, even if you're not a child's father, my dad was such a good man. He would let me come in the house, play his record, pique my interest in arts and music. He's the reason I love model cars and Hot Wheels. I give those out in my barbershop now for young men, because I've always been his son, never his stepson, never his wife's child. I partner in terms of collecting toys and having a hobby together. I've always been his, he's been my dad, and he's always been a friend to me, and we always talk about anything, being music. Again, I say we collect toys and stuff together. So between those three men, my grandfather, Willie Burke Sherwood, my biological father, Michael Render, and my non-biological father, F.J. Smith, between those, that circle of men, man, I had some of the best examples of fatherhood and what being a dad to be. And even as I've gotten older, I'm still taking lessons from them and learning how to be a better father.
That's what it is, Mike, man. I really appreciate you for taking the time out, man. And much success, man, and continue to be a strong voice for the community, brother.
Thank you, man. Love and respect. I appreciate you.
All right, thanks, brother. Peace.
All right, peace.